Hey Dimitri,
Hey,
how's
Dan. How are
Aljo?
you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you. You've had a busy week. You've been traveling in the country and seeing people, and the conversations that you've been having have been pretty interesting. So, I mean, today let's just catch up on the events of healthcare and life sciences as we've been doing every week so far. And today we're digging into even broader and even slightly deeper topics such as the business aspects as well as technical aspects of AI and so on. And I think it's quite a nice agenda we've got today. So you want to just kick off and let's start tackling one or two of those technical aspects. I think in healthcare and life sciences, especially those people watching this and they from that industry, from that sector, or even patients. I think we all are patients, if you'd like. We all go to the doctor sometimes, I think. And we'll have some kind of medical issue from time to time. So we are part of the whole stakeholder group, if you think of the bigger picture side of things. So, but let's get into some of the technical aspects of how AI and especially the developments that are busy happening. Let's tackle one or two of those.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we can definitely touch a couple topics in this area. So I mentioned multiple times before, there's a lot of development going on in artificial intelligence, not just from the pure technical standpoint, but from the research standpoint. So, and that's a very interesting consequences of those researches and conclusions based on those researches again. So a couple most interesting researches that I was reading about over last week is actually creativity of humans versus artificial intelligence. Because I mean, we're talking and people are talking about how artificial intelligence is creative. It can generate the text for us, it can generate videos, images, basically whatever you want, right? But we obviously would like to know how creative it is. Is it a pure creativity? Are people done with creativity? And we just need to, I guess, transfer those tasks to artificial intelligence. So if you want, we can definitely talk about this topic. Okay.
Yes, absolutely. I think the creative. I think there's some studies being done around creativity and I think what's busy happening, I think we've seen it a number of times, is where they're saying, okay, here's a group of humans, and there we've got a few AI models, and let's put them together and ask them the same question and see what the output's going to be,
Right.
and trying to get to see which one has got the best ability to answer correctly, but also answer in a creative way, think laterally, and so on. So I think that's well worth sort of digging into today.
Sure, absolutely. So this study was actually trying to kind of deep down to divergent thinking, which is basically an ability to generate result answers a question which doesn't have one specific answer. So, for example, the question we're asking something like create, come up with a creative use for everyday object. I don't know, like a rope or a fork, right? And or asking question, what if humans no longer need to sleep or to generate 10 nouns that are semantically distant as much as possible, right? And I mean, for example, like, I mean, dog and cat, they are very close, but cat and ontology is totally different semantically words. And well, I mean, they were comparing the answers between human control group, it's like 150 people or so, and GPT-4. Well, I guess it's one of the most overused engines, artificial intelligence, I guess, because it was the first one. And they analyzed the results. Interestingly, ChatGPT produced more creative results. It basically was answering better than humans, right? And people would say, well, I mean, ChatGPT-4 is already more creative and provides better results and so on and so on. But you actually need to look at this very, very carefully as the study data. I hope they did a very good job. They actually found few nuances. Well, first of all, ChatGPT cannot just be creative. It is induced by people to generate something, right? So it just sits It's basically in of stagnation. I do not generate anything unless you ask me to generate something. Okay? I mean, asking is a creativity by itself, by the way. So, and creating, I mean, we all probably heard those and saw those images. Two-headed, five-legged elephant is not a very creative result, to be frank. Even so, it's original, I guess, but original is not always creative. And another thing that actually was very interesting is that people, well, because, I mean, they obviously did some follow-up and asking a question, especially at the control group, human group, why you did this, why you didn't do this, because they were showing the similar results in the ChatGPT. And one of the answer that was actually on the top, that human participants may have felt that they were, I guess, constrained by their responses because it needed to be grounded in the real world. And because of our, I don't know, self-constraint, self-control, some other aspects of humanity didn't let them to express those ideas. So they had them, but they, no, that's stupid. Now that sounds weird. Now that's kind of, people will be laughing at me or something like this. And well, obviously ChatGPT doesn't care about people laughing or it's a strange, some other stuff.
It doesn't get embarrassed. It doesn't get shy.
Whatever. As I said, five-legged elephant, it looks nice to me. What are you complaining about? So, yes, and well, as the researcher said that, well, I mean, you need to be very careful looking at the result of such researches because they do not really measure creativity per se. Because, I mean, again, creativity is a more complex piece, not just comparing some very narrow results of very narrow questioning, very narrow, I don't know, generative responses. But one of the things, I mean, that actually was a good research because it did show that in some aspects, OpenAI or any other AI model actually outperform humans in some ways. And we shouldn't be afraid of this, I guess, the same way as we shouldn't be afraid of cars. They do outperform people, right? I mean, they run.
Yeah, they definitely go faster than us.
Are we afraid of people? Are we saying, no, let's ban all the cars because they outperform people? They will do something to us. Well, I mean, they do, right? I mean, to be fair. But again, I mean, it's you just need to control about this, okay? And I guess another research, which is actually more healthcare and more engineering, that's actually a fusion between healthcare and engineering, New York City University, they actually conducted an experiment. And they put together a group of healthcare professionals and software engineers. And using basically ChatGPT, they used ChatGPT as a communication translator, I would say, between these two teams to create an application for one of the healthcare applications. I believe, yeah, it was the diabetes application, diabetics, about meals, about controlling environment, exercise, and so on, so on. And they basically, they had like, I believe, two or three groups in both sides. One of the group, it was just a regular development, so engineers and those healthcare professionals, they were communicating in the regular way, just like, I mean, old-fashioned way, without understanding each other, right? I mean, engineers doing what nice, that's how it should be engineered, that's the best practices, this code should be like this, and this needs to be like this, and healthcare, I can break out your software development that needs to be treating our patients. But in another group, as I said, ChatGPT was actually in the middle, and it was controlling this communication between just two groups, essentially working as a translator. And if you think about it, it's the same way as a regular translator that translates, I don't know, one language to another language, right? I mean, it's sometimes different professionals, they talk different languages, and you just need something in the middle to make communication clear and understandable.
Even if you take a translator going from one language to the other, meaning in one language and trying to explain what somebody has said in another language could have a totally different meaning.
Oh, yeah.
Something that is pleasant in one language could actually be a swear word or something unpleasant in another language. And if you do a direct translation, so if you have something in the middle that does really good or high quality translation, the results and the output is probably going to be better than the direct translation and even a human being translating between the two.
True. So you're talking about...
And as you said, engineers think in an engineering way and pharmaceutical and medical people think in a different way. And then how do you get them to talk together and talk the same language? They might be speaking the same language, but not necessarily in the same way.
Right.
I think that's what you're meaning.
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean. And I mean, as a result, results were actually very amazing. They were able to build this application under 40 hours, comparing
wow.
with the 200 hours using our old-fashioned approach. So, I mean, it was a small project, to be fair, right? But I think it's very promising, and actually that's something should be considered on everyday activities. I mean, to be frank, that sometimes, especially when it's a very, highly paced day and I have a lot of activities and some email comes, I just skip the first sentence, second sentence, and then I look at this email at a totally different angle. I miss this piece, I miss this essential part.
Yes.
And sometimes, I mean, I just put it in the ChatGPT, just summarize it. Tell me what specifically this person wanted from me. Because sometimes just reading from this piece, I don't know what he wants from me. And a lot of words, a lot of, I don't know, sometimes complaints, sometimes good stuff. But what does he want from me? And especially if you're not focused, just give it to ChatGPT. It will interpret for you. It will give you few essential pieces here. Oh, now, okay, excellent. So that was about it. Because, I mean, again, just like with the creativity, ChatGPT, it doesn't get tired. It just keeps working. It just keeps generating, keeps summarizing for you. So that's the same way with the translate.
I'm thinking if I look at Glorium Technologies as a company and a development company, I mean, you would go in to a particular organization to work on their technology, to do development work and to understand what the needs and requirements are. And then you would develop a particular model or something for them to test, maybe a sandbox environment or a proof of concept or something like that. And then you would get the feedback and then you would make the changes and so on. And they might be backwards and forwards until you get something that's at least to the level to what the users might want or had required in the first place. It may be that even in your development process, that your entire client engagement might be improved over time to reduce the amount of time to collect the what we used to call discovery, and where you go through a whole discovery process and understand the needs and requirements and start to break down the workflows and the things that need to be fixed,
right,
or adjusted or added to or whatever it is. But then in technology, it doesn't always mean the same thing. I mean, if sometimes to a user, a button is a button. It's like, if I press it, it must do stuff. But from a technology point of view, there's a lot of things that must happen behind. And another thing that also happens sometimes is when you add something, it breaks something else. So from a technology point of view, I think it might even help from development companies and companies that have to apply technology might even be useful there. I'm guessing. I mean, you must tell me what you think the experience will be going forward.
You're actually totally right. I mean, this actually concept of misunderstanding, not hearing each other between, it's actually more generic. Let me put it this way. It's actually more generic. It's basically, well, I wanted to say management team and engineering team, but I guess it's to make it more proper, it's between product owner team and engineering team. It's probably, again, it's a more generic statement and more generalization of the situation, because it's just different point of view. I mean, if you're a product owner, you want to move quickly on something more valuable for your product, to develop something, to release something, because you know that clients want this specific feature or this specific functionality tomorrow, not next month.
Yes.
And
yes.
They don't want to refactor the code or something like this. But engineering team sits in, well, I mean, they do have vision, obviously. They have roadmap, sprint planning, and everything, but backlog. But again, they are okay, so we just need to complete the sprint. That's it. Yeah, the management team telling us something, but don't they do it every week, right? Just forget about this. And I think it is essential to have a very, again, clear communication between those teams, whatever teams they are, again, management, engineering, product owner, something like this. And if there is a misunderstanding and different languages, as you say, they speak business language, they speak engineering language, they are different languages. And the piece that connects and interprets, and not just linguistic, right, translation, it's actually cultural translation, which is important here. I mean, the main cultural, I mean, here, but I mean, even nation cultural translation is important sometimes. It's very essential, and it definitely should improve the results and reduce waste, reduce costs, and make everything be much, much better.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of scope. And as these use cases come up, the use of AI starts becoming more realistic.
Yeah,
there's one thing I want to just maybe throw a bit of a curveball in there. I went to an event this week, and
yes.
and one of the panels that were speaking, they had different people on the stage. And one person was very much business orientated. One was actually a person that had built a £4 billion business in the home industry, for instance. And another one was a technology person. Another one was someone from, what's it, the World Health Organization. Another person was from, they were from different places. Others was looking after children between 12 and 18 and trying to make sure AI doesn't interrupt their, you know, the safety and you know, give them the wrong information as growing, you know, young adults, for instance.
Right.
And what was very interesting was there were some people that were, let's call them, you know, more, and I don't want to go into that topic too much, but there were some people were slanted towards being more feminist, if you like. And then others were more, not too worried about feminism, but they were more worried about business impact. And then there, in the audience in that same panel, there were other people that were worried about mental health. And then the conversation ended up being sort of AI has a bias. And how do we get rid of bias? And what my question was, and that was never answered in the panel, maybe we could over the next few weeks try and unpack what this really means. But how do you define bias? Because in a community that you could have grown up, you could have a bias towards a particular thing that you eat, maybe even just a type of food. You enjoy that meal because that's what you grew up on and that's what you enjoy. So you got a bias towards that meal, where another family could have a bias towards a different meal because they grew up differently and they might not agree that it tastes nice, the other person's food. Now, which one is right? And I suppose the same question comes back to your creativity. How do you define what is creativity? Because it's like, okay, one is more creative than the other, but what does it really mean? And the same thing with bias. And I think I want to tackle these things because these are the things that come up a lot. And then there's the other thing that people keep saying, which is now much less and less, the hallucination element of it, like as in, you know, generative AI is giving hallucinations, but maybe it's not so much hallucination, but maybe it's more your interpretation. It's being creative and it's being biased and maybe not doesn't carry your bias, if that makes sense. So I don't know. Maybe we want to tackle that today or some other time.
Well, I mean, we can kind of touch it. I definitely, let me put it this way, I definitely would like to read up a little bit more about this. But from the information that I have currently, hallucination, creativity, and all those words related to artificial intelligence, especially in the way how they do it now, they actually inappropriate words, to be frank, because it's, well, if you have a glitch in your computer, is your computer biased? Is your computer just being creative and yes,
creator?
Yeah, and it just sent $1 million from one account to another? Well, it's just creative. It just, I feel it this way, right? I mean, today I'm in good news, so I'm going to send $1 million to another account. No, it's not. It's a glitch. And to some extent, well, I mean, creativity of the artificial intelligence is not a creativity. It's just the way how algorithmically it was built and how it produces the result, which is basically, to some extent, a random outcome based on some input parameters. And basically, I mean, theoretically, if the model is built properly, it should generate every time it should generate something different because, again, it's inherently random results. It keeps it within narrow range. Obviously, it doesn't want to be wild. We don't want to see 100-legged elephants, right? But sometimes, like those glitches, like a 5-legged elephant or something like this, it's just a part of this random ones that just generates some deviation. And those deviation, name them creativity, I think it's a kind of overstretching and, I mean, hallucination. Hallucination is actually, I guess, it's a over creativity, right, in this term. But yeah, I think those words, they're misleading and provide...
And there's another word I want to throw in there because we are dealing with healthcare and life sciences and that's the mental aspect, especially if you think about when there are drug trials.
Right.
And tests, there's the placebo effect. I mean, the reason why they've got a control group and a group they're actually testing on, they don't let either group know whether they're actually getting the medicine or getting the treatment or not, because human beings can make up their own placebo effect and make out as if they've actually been consuming that particular medicine or going through that treatment. And they show the same result, improvement in their health, as if they didn't receive it, as if they did. So is that hallucination? Is that what is it? Creativity?
Sure.
Is there a glitch in the brain for that? I suppose it's these things become very, very good questions, because in that way we can start questioning human behavior as opposed to something that's maybe more predictable eventually, and testing it against a more predictable output. Some people are saying that eventually all human output or thinking needs to be double checked by AI eventually. So to make sure that it's going to be at least realistic at the output.
True. But Dudley, actually, there is an interesting fact I learned many, many years ago when we didn't even... Well, I mean, we didn't have such artificial intelligence as we have right now. In our brain, there is a random generator piece. It literally just evolution made this piece. For the cases when we have two similar outcomes, we cannot objectively measure which outcome is preferable for us. And just to avoid this, like what I'm going to do and just being stuck in the situation, this random generator just pushes us one way or another. So we are at some extent hallucinating, creative to some extent. I mean, obviously it's a different mechanism. It doesn't have anything to do with our creativity, but we also to some extent machines, and we have some mechanism. And to be frank, the neural networks, they are built, they're overly simplified how our brain behaves. Obviously we are not there from what machines are. I mean, some people are saying that we're close, but no, not yet. I mean, pretty far away. We will need to build a pretty huge machine that would represent the brain of a single person. Even so, even ChatGPT can generate much more creative and nicely written text, short ones, not big ones. But I guess my point here that we have a lot of stuff from the technology standpoint, from the artificial standpoint, going to be developed over the years and years and years. And I mean, we just need to use in the positive way what we have right now. Don't be afraid of those achievements. Harness those technologies for human benefits in healthcare, in specifically, and make sure that our life is better by using those technologies.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I mean, I just think we were talking about communication and translation. I don't know if you remember as a child, if you ever played that game where you, the, I don't
Broken.
know, whoever, where you were lined up and then you had to, then you start with a sentence
Right.
and then you got to repeat the sentence to the next person in the queue. And then they, then at the end, after 20 or 30 people have passed the message on, what does it sound like at the end once it's gone through at least 20 or 30 humans? Is almost never the same way it started, because everybody adds on or takes or removes certain aspects or changes the meaning of certain things until the person at the end. So imagine, I mean, you've got now AI, which is catering for millions and millions of people at this stage already. I mean, people have signed up to this, building out models and testing and building out their own inputs and outputs and so on. But what's very interesting is that us humans are flawed as well. And I think it also is a moment in time where we need to start understanding that potentially creating an AI system that is more predictable and potentially a better way of measuring consistency across answers and across communication in channels. So coming back to healthcare and life sciences, I think things like developing medicines and developing the hardware and the imaging and other types of, you know, assessments and diagnostic tools and that, you are leaving it less and less to, for human ability to go and get it completely wrong, and more consistent in terms of results over time. I'm not saying right away, but over time, you should theoretically get more consistent, predictable results by having this as an as your assistant, if you like, as opposed to the human doing the only bit of thinking.
Just like with any other tool, I mean, I guess we kind of keep iterating. I mean, over our previous meetings and recording, and right now it's just a tool that are given to us, and we just need to learn to use it properly in the safe way, obviously, in the constructive way, in the proper way, in the good way, in human way, maybe to some extent. It's a new tool. It's a lot of unknowns about this tool, but we keep learning about it and keep improving our life using this tool. It's nothing more. It's literally just a tool, another tool. And there will be more tools that we don't know about in the future. So.
Yeah, what one of the speakers this week at the panel that I was watching was the guy said that AI right now is the worst it's ever going to be. Right now is like in the early stages, but it will only just get better. So that was his statement, was this, what you see now is the worst it's ever going to be,
Right.
because the improvements are going to be, you know, the trajectory is very steep in terms of the improvements going from year on out. And we've already seen a lot of that.
And a lot of noise right now. I mean, a lot of garbage coming from those resources, to be frank. A lot of stuff that will just die off because of it just doesn't bring any value to the businesses, to human, I mean, entertainment, business, healthcare, whatever it's gonna be. And it's just amount of information, amount of knowledge, and amount of improvement, I guess, significantly bigger than anything we saw before. And because of this, it looks a bit challenging, a bit scary to some extent, because we don't understand the entire system, entire complexity of this. And I mean, if we don't understand, then we start putting something from our brain, our issues, reflecting our issues into those unknowns, right? Adding something from our brain which doesn't have anything to do with reality. And it, because of this, I guess, huge amount of new stuff coming from artificial intelligence, it just looks weird again, scary, understandable. But we will tackle it just like with any other technology we did before.
Right, so Dimitri, we've covered a lot of the human and the behavioral psychology things. We've thought about things like bias and placebo and creativity and a lot of these studies that are busy happening, and even translating between different audiences. And we've spoken a lot about that. So we've spoken about the human interaction with AI. But I think our next episode, our next podcast, and as we go deeper and deeper into really the world of healthcare and life sciences, we need to develop a more of a deeper and a richer understanding of each one of the component parts of that sector that gets affected. So as a cliffhanger, let's leave the podcast right here and right now, and we say to our audience, guys, join us next time, because next time we're going to touch on things like diagnostics, imaging. That's a very, very, very big topic on its own. Drug discovery and development. I mean, that again is uniquely different, and it has a massive impact on how much is going to be developed in improvements in terms of drugs and that. Looking at personalized medicine, things like tailored medicines for specific things. I remember getting a DNA test done some years ago, and how massively that DNA test has helped me in managing my own health. Because I do long distance running, I do sort of triathlons, and I do that type of thing. And the DNA test gave me really good markers in terms of how much time I need to give myself for recovery, diet, rest, and etc. And also the patterns in which my training programs are to run. So that's personalized medicines, and that's on the health, let's call it the sports side. But just more as giving personalized medicine feedback is another massive topic. Again, if we look at like predictive analysis about taking data points and being able to predict things that might happen in the future, again, it could help people that may be prone to getting diseases and things sometime in the future. Let's rather start treating it right now, maybe even behavioral or like patterns in healthcare. And there's other things, robotic surgery. I imagine going in for surgery and a robot is operating and there's no doctor in the room. I mean, that's, you know, at this stage, I don't even know how I'm going to feel about that if it ever has to happen to me. And then things like just normal administration for organizations in the healthcare and life sciences, where they got to deal with a ton of paper and a ton of information and people phoning and contacting them. So another big, big topic. So let's tackle those in the next few weeks as we go, because every week there's development even within each one of those different subcategories as well. So let's leave it there. Thank you, Dimitri. It's been fascinating again having a conversation. You and I are incredibly busy understanding this world of AI, just like our audience is. And we invite our audience to go on this journey with us as we discover more and better ways of how to use AI and how to make our lives better using this as a tool as opposed to being something to be scared of. Thanks so much, Dimitri. Thanks. Appreciate
your interview. Thank you for conversation, and see you guys next week.
See you next week. Bye-bye.